This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com. So in 2021, I took on a role as the head of inclusion and belonging for the world's largest real estate franchise. And on one very hot day in Austin, Texas, I walked into our office and I ran into the public relations guy in the hallway. And he was like, "Oh my God, Julia, you're on the cover of the Business Journal with Elon Musk." And he was super excited, so I had to reciprocate his excitement. So I was like, "Oh my God, that's so awesome. Who is Elon Musk?"
Welcome back to another session of the Amazing Color Bunny podcast. I am joined today by my wonderful co-hosts, Emmerich Peace and Julia Lachey. And we've got actually a special treat for you today because we are going to focus on this amazing experience that one of our very own, Julia Lachey, had an opportunity to speak at a TEDx talk. And we want to dig into that a little bit because Julia's only the second person I've ever known personally who gave a TED talk. And I'm really interested to learn about how she decided to do this, how she got to do it, how she put together the information she decided to talk about. And I had the opportunity to see her in a practice run, which was one of the most amazing things that I've had to experience in the last few months. So I'm super excited to dig in this with Julia today. So Julia, like, we are super excited to hear about this. You want to tell us a little bit about just, like, how did you even decide to do this?
The purpose of TED Talks are you have an idea that you feel like is going to inspire the world. You have something that you think people need to know and you want to get your message out there. And as you all know, what I felt passionate about was getting the message of not what people typically see diversity, equity, and inclusion as, because there's a lot of different perspectives of people have of it. But I wanted to get the message out about what I really think the purpose of diversity, equity, and inclusion is. And so I do a lot of public speaking engagements and things of that nature, but TED Talk happens to be the largest thought leader platform. And so the goal was to get my message out to as many people as possible to shift the mindset of what people think diversity, equity, and inclusion is to what I believe diversity, equity, and inclusion to be. So that's why I did it.
Can we hang there for a second? Just on this core idea, right? You said the fundamental idea of a TED Talk is to share an idea with the world that can inspire people. Mm-hmm. So, like, how would you describe that idea that has been burning in your sort of, not just in your head? Because I think part of the interesting part of the TED Talk is you got to take something that's, like, in your heart and in your soul and make it into something that you can articulate and communicate. And that's the beauty of TED Talks, is the clarity of the communication. But maybe let's start with the idea and the sentiment and the passion that you wanted to get out there and you thought could change the world.
You know what? That's such a good question, because what I teach about it, but it's a 2-hour class, or at best a 1-hour class. So you take that and chunk it down to, mine was 12 minutes, right? And 12 minutes of, and the idea is, I believe that diversity is simply anything and everything that makes us different. I believe that equity is necessary because we are all different. We do all have different backgrounds and different upbringings. So we need different tools or levels of support to reach the desired outcome. And inclusion to me is simply creating a space where people have the psychological safety or feel welcome enough to do that, right? And so for me, that's what diversity, equity, and inclusion is. It's not this polarizing topic that they've been using as propaganda to say, oh, DEI is bad, we don't want that. You know, to me, it is literally, we all benefit from being engaged with different people, providing them opportunities to be where we are, and including them in our spaces. If everybody thought like Julia, we would have a serious problem.
Emmerich, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, we would be in trouble. And so literally it takes, people tune into this podcast because we have 4 co-hosts. We all have different perspectives. We all have different ideas. We're all very different people. Literally, this podcast is diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And so shifting that mindset from whatever it is they're out there telling you it is to the reality of the benefit of it. In fact, it was called Why DEI Can't Die, The Ultimate Win. That was the name of it. I believe we win when we include different perspectives. So that's the message that I wanted to get out. That's the idea that I wanted to get out to the world.
Take us back from inception of idea to like getting on the TED Talk? So what was the first, did you just wake up one day and say, I want to do a TED Talk?
Yeah, actually I did. It was on my, it was on my 411. For those of you who don't know what that is, we create a business, you know, goal setting. We have a goals for the year. And not only was it on my 411, it was on my vision board. It was on my vision board for a few years ago and I took it off because I thought, you know, I don't know that this probably will happen. So let me just take it off. But I did wake up and say, I know where I want to share this message at. I want to share it on the largest thought leader platform. And so you begin to apply. How you get on a TED Talk is you apply. And not just when they come to your town, because it's actually quite difficult to get onto it. And you have to send out an application and you tell them why your idea is fitting for whatever their topic might be. The reality is, a topic like that, diversity, equity, and inclusion that people already find polarizing, already kind of don't want to have. Most people don't want to welcome you on their stage to talk about that. So I didn't just put in one application or two applications. I actually had my assistant find all the TED Talks ever going on for the whole year and apply to all of them. I think we actually put in like 62 applications. To some people tell me, I think the average is like 100 and something that you people put in to actually get on a TED Talk stage. You put in, some people that were there put in over 100 applications.
Wow.
To get there. Yeah. So it's not a just let me apply and see if it is. It's a consistency, it's a persistence and believing you have a message worth sharing. So we applied and one of the talks was about growth and they found my talk to be fitting in the conversations of growth. Yeah.
In that space of your TED Talk, the confidence level that you had to have in your topic, how confident were you in that topic?
I think it might even be confidence in the speech. I'm confident in what I know and what I teach, and I'm confident in that. But to deliver it, to both point, to take it from something that you might teach in a class to actually standing and doing a monologue for 15 minutes is kind of a different, that's a different task.
Yeah.
And so for that, like many of us, I believe we all have coaches. I actually had a coach. So I had a coach that helped me to develop taking that from 2 hours to 12 minutes. And now what I've learned is everything I've been trying to tell people in 2 hour conversation, I can say in 10 minutes, but I learned. But I had a coach to help me with that, to increase the confidence. And Imrik, that's actually the hardest part of a TED Talk is memorizing it. Because I didn't, some people use slides. They are kind of teaching like a mini class, like a 10 minute class. I didn't do that. I literally stood there for 10 minutes and did a monologue. And so you have to memorize it. And then deliver it in such a way that, and that's when you met me, Bo. It's like, I know what I'm going to say, but I had zero delivery. The delivery was, delivery was like, well, what was I supposed to say? And then I would forget, like, wait, what comes after that? So the memorizing and the delivery is difficult.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting though. I'd love to like have this sort of saying that comes up all the time that thought is sharpened by action. And I've always thought that in addition to thought being sharpened by action, communication is sharpened when you have to shorten it, right?
Yeah.
Because it starts to force trade-offs. If you have 2 hours, I can say it three times. I can pick four words. I can, but if I only get 12 minutes, I got to pick the right word. I got to pick the right sentence. I got to deliver it the right way to convey. And you're also trying to convey emotion and energy and thought. So I'm interested in like, what did you learn in the process? Like, 2 hours to 12 minutes. Like, what'd you learn in that process?
I love that question. I think there's something we can all learn from that is be succinct, be brief. In a 2 hour conversation or a class that I teach the same thing, you narrow down to what are all the things you're saying that don't matter? What do they need to know? They don't actually need to know all 2 hours of that content. What do they need to know? And you take whatever 2 hour conversation you may have thought about having. And I think this goes for any level of communication. Do your meetings really need to be an hour long? You know, do your need, you know, with some time and preparation, you probably can say what you need to say in 15 minutes. Take out all the fluff, all the extra stuff that they don't need to hear. So all you have is exactly what you're saying to get your point across. You don't have the story, backstory. You don't have the extra time. You take out all the things that they don't need and you discover what do they need to hear. Will they still get your concept without this part of it? And that's difficult for especially somebody who likes to talk. Like me, like, you know, to shorten it. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about this. Are you talking about me, Julia? Are you saying Emory?
And you can say it with less words. I think that's a lesson for all of us. Say it with less words.
Say less.
Say more. Talk less. Yeah. First of all, people aren't engaged for your whole conversation anyway. You know, so shorten it to deliver the parts that you believe matter the most. Yeah.
Tell me about memorizing. Like you memorize. Why'd you memorize?
The hard part is memorizing it. Even it's an exercise, it's a skill, a discipline, right? It's doing something repetitively until you get it perfect, until you get it right. And I didn't even get it right. I messed up at the end, but nobody would know that but me. But it's the repetition. And with anything, you know, it's consistency. And the reason I knew the time was because I walk my dog twice a day. And I would walk my dog the same route, and it was exactly 12 minutes. So I would start the speech and take the route, and I did it every day, twice a day, for 12 minutes. It was the repetition. And now I probably can't forget it, right? Like, I did it so many times, but I think it's self-mastery, right? We talk about that in our organization of self-mastery. You don't do it to get it right. You do it so many times that you can't get it wrong. And, you know, it's the practice and the repetition, just like a football player or anybody else. You practice, you know, what do they say? They practice 40 hours a week for a 1 hour game. You know, it's the same thing. I practiced that doggone thing so many times for 10 minutes, really is what it took me. I did it in 10 minutes because I talked fast, but I did it, in, you know, you practice the same thing, but it was the practice. And I think that goes for anything that you're going to do. You do the same thing every day. You do it so much that you can't get it wrong, whether it be a listing presentation or a buyer consultation or whatever it is you're trying to deliver or get people to hire you for whatever. You do it so many times. Now somebody says, the other day I was at KW and they said, do the TED Talk. And I didn't know I was going to be doing it. I said, oh, wait, do I remember how it goes? Went right into, of course, I remember how it goes. I did it twice a day, every day for like 2 months, you know? So, yeah, I remember. So it's repetition, like anything else, practice.
What was going on, though, in your head?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. When they have you, do you sit backstage while other people give theirs? Like, how does it work?
So we do a practice run the day before. There's a rehearsal the day before. And they literally even made us put on the same clothes we were going to wear. And I felt like I do public speaking all the time. I only do this, you know? But there was some to it that we literally had to put on what you're going to wear. And do it exactly how you're going to do it. We did the rehearsal. And then, yeah, you're backstage and the other people are doing it. There was this little girl. Her name was Juliet. Juliet was 8 years old. 8 years old. She was a child genius. And I'm not saying that jokingly. She literally was. And her talk was about kids teaching kids. But she was amazing. And so you're watching these people deliver these things. Another lady that was there was a double board certified surgeon. And her talk was on saving a life in 2 minutes, 2 minutes to save a life, about doctors needing to listen to their patients for only 2 minutes. And it would reduce malpractice enough to save people's lives. So there was these phenomenal people that you're in the midst of. And yes, confident as I am in my thing, I was feeling confident. And then they start talking and I'm just like, wow, I'm going to have to do this, huh? You know, like, so, and they were nervous more than me because I speak a lot, but I was still confident in what I know, right? I'm just confident in what I know. I may not deliver it as correctly as I want to deliver it, but the experience of just being around other amazing people and learning from them. And that goes to my whole point of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're all wildly different ages, different religions, different races, different geographic locations that we're from. We all have totally different ideas we're sharing. But as a group, as a whole, we were like hyping each other up. It was like hype me. We were like, yeah, go. Everybody was hyping each other. After Juliet went before me, she runs off the stage and gives me a hug. And it's like, you're going to do great. And I'm going to stand right here until you're done. She was so cute, but it was the support of it. It was just a really fabulous experience that I think we could all curate in our own lives by supporting our own individual ideas as a collective, you know.
So you tell us a little bit about leading up to it. Do you have any memory of actually giving the TED Talk? Like, were you processing any emotions or were you just so focused on?
I remembered it and I had a lot of times, sometimes when I speak or when I teach, I am not there in a pleasant environment. Sometimes people have been sued and I'm there as a result of your lawsuit, right? So these are not always great environments that I walk into to have these conversations. Sometimes I am a result of whatever you did wrong, right? In this environment, though, it was a very welcoming environment. The people that were in the audience were in education, you know, they were higher learning, higher educate, you know, those kind of things. And they were a very welcoming audience. They were all just smiling at me the whole time, just so happily, you know.
You're so articulate.
Shut up. I knew Eric was going to do it. I knew Eric was going to do it. Stop it. But I had a welcoming audience and they were just, and it made it really easy because they wanted to hear what I had to say. Yeah.
So one question, though. So I'm sure people have been wondering this the whole time. We've been talking about the process. We talked about it. But so, and for those of you, like, we're going to have in the show notes the link to watch Julia's TED Talk. So make sure that you actually go over, check out the whole thing. You can see if all this background, you can imagine her sitting backstage getting all ready to go out and deliver it.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
But like, let's go back to the topic for a second, though.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us, why must DEI not die?
The reason DEI can't die is because diversity brings a number of different perspectives. We can't, and in fact, okay, now you're going to make me do a couple of seconds of it. But the reality of the situation is that we all bring unique perspectives, right? That's the idea of being diverse. That's the individuality of it. And so it can't die because we can't build big businesses without varying perspectives. We can't build vibrant communities without varying perspectives. Even my neighborhood, my neighbors across the way, I love my neighbors. They are so damn nosy. I mean, I got the nosiest neighbors. Now, that's not me. I really could care less what you're doing. We're very different in that way, but they make our community strong because I know what you're not going to do. You're not about to drive up this cul-de-sac and rob me, not on no Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, because Jill and Joyce are watching, right? Like, it's not, they make our community better. DEI can't die because that diversity, and how did I, you know, and even the people on the end of the street, I know those people, they're very different than me too. Guess what? They used down payment assistance to buy their house. That's a form of equity. But they make up this neighborhood. They make up this community. Without them, I love my neighbor. Without them, I don't love my neighborhood as much. But diversity can't die because all of our differences together make up a whole. That's what makes up big businesses. That's what makes up big communities. And the equity part is so important because without that down payment assistance, they wouldn't be there. Without whatever it was that got me here, I wouldn't be there. Without whatever Jill and Joyce got, they wouldn't be there. We all had different backgrounds of how we got here, but those were all very important how we did it. And the inclusion is just that we all feel very welcome. They made sure I felt welcome my first day of here. They came in, wanted me to know that there was another Black person in the neighborhood. They were like, oh yes, there's another one. Like, they wanted to make sure I felt welcome, right? I appreciate that because I do feel welcome in my community and I do feel included. And they do invite me to, they're all older people, very much so older people. They invite me to the tea and crumpets and I come, you know, because I'm included, you know, and that's why it can't die. We build big businesses. We build big communities because of our differences. And the only reason we're all in the same space feeling included is because there was some form of equity that got us here. So that's why it can't die. It is the ultimate win, I call it.
So if I remember correctly, in the run through, the pre-TED talk that I received, you bring a very famous business figure into your talk. And how did you think about that? Were you ever worried about doing that? And has there been any blowback on your talk now that he runs the world?
Right. We'll find out. Yeah. But Bo is referring to, I start the conversation off with back in 2021, Elon Musk and I were featured on the front page of the Business Journal in Austin, Texas, in Texas, the Texas Business Journal. We were listed as top 100 most influential people to watch in Texas in 2022. And on the Austin Business Journal, it was me and Elon and a couple of other people that were on the cover of the Austin Business Journal. So I start my talk off with talking about that experience. And as a result of us landing shared space in this shared article, in my head, I had made up that we were best friends. This was my boy. I literally felt like I could pick up the phone and call him and be like, hey, you know, what's up? And until he went on the whole anti-DEI campaign, right? In fact, his exact words were DEI must die. And so I use that in my speech because my speech is called Why DEI Can't Die. And it's the ultimate win. And so I talk about my shift from thinking we're best friends to finding out not so much, you know, and not so much, because I really felt like, okay, we're about to take on this town, me and Elon. And that was not the case. But I end the conversation with, I'm never going to be best friends with Elon Musk. And I'm not going to take on the world with him, but I could take it on with you. You know, together, you and I, we can change the world. And we can, and he's probably not going to be part of that. He's going to do it differently. Right. But,
and that's part of diversity. Yeah. Y'all occupy the same space with different ideas.
And you know, and honestly, Bo, I'm glad you brought that up, because I also bring up Bill Ackman. He had wrote an essay about the lady that was at Harvard. Remember, and he did the whole, he was calling DEI inherently racist. And I read his essay that he wrote, and I actually appreciated his perspective. You know, I valued his perspective. And so that's part of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Inclusion doesn't mean I only value your perspective if it's the same as mine. You know, diversity means I value your perspective, whatever your perspective may be. I enjoyed the essay. I valued his perspective. That doesn't mean I agree with it. That doesn't mean that I think he's right or wrong, but I valued his perspective. It added information and knowledge for me about, in general, people in the world, what they think, the viewpoint that they have, the perspective that they have. After I read it, I couldn't, you know, people were bashing that guy. I was like, I don't know that I can, it's not my perspective. Right. He sees it differently, but I certainly valued his perspective. So I bring him up in the TED Talk too. Yeah.
Well, you know, and in that space of embracing that idea, it helps you grow your idea.
Exactly.
To a better place. And if you never hear that opposing thought or that opposing idea, then you would be stuck in your paradigm of where you are.
And I honestly think that's where people go wrong a lot with diversity, equity, and inclusion. They are so fixated on their perspective. They're unwilling to even acknowledge that there is another perspective, you know? And that is where I think it goes poorly, is because, again, to my point, it can't be inclusion if I only want to hear from people who think like me.
And there's a place for that, right? Like, Julia, there's a place. Like, we're on a podcast talking about the color of money, wealth in a certain community. Like, there are places in our current media system where you can find different communities of dialogue and of thought. Now, we're four different hosts. We have different perspectives. We bring on people with even other different perspectives, but we're still talking about the same. We're still in an area, right? And so I think because we have such a segmented media experience today, and we consume so much media, that people can be lulled into this false sense that the world thinks and acts like they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think at the heart of true DEI is this idea that I have my perspectives, I have my own thought, I have my own experience. And there's a place to be affirmed, to be supported, to engage with people that understand you and can help you craft a journey. And then there's a time to go listen to and talk to and understand the actual thinking of people who think not at all like you, who you can't even fathom their perspective. I'm an entrepreneur. I think about creating value. I, for the past, you know, decade, have been on bank boards. And bankers, they don't think about creating value. They think about what value can be lost. And so this is a totally different framework. Like what are we going to lose today? What are we going to be able to take from him if he messes up? That's literally the conversation. Like, what can we take from him? You know, and I'm like, well, what can we create that doesn't exist today? And that engagement of having to put on a different hat and think a different way and hear people talk and think a different way made me so much better of a business person, because I had to actually take off my perspective through which I saw the world and my lens, which I like. I agree with my lens, that there's another lens out there. And my ability to process the thinking that is behind that other lens totally enhances the quality of my life and my ability to operate.
That's exactly what my talk was. It was really about how can I add value to you and you add value to me, because we think so differently. On our previous podcast, I talked about some gentlemen that I meet on the plane, totally different from me. I love those conversations because without meeting them, sometimes I'm blown. My mind is blown, like, wow, that's how you think? Okay, you know, but I don't even know it exists if I don't even engage in the conversation. You know, that really is the point of the whole TED Talk, is valuing each other's perspectives. And I use the lens of colored lenses. I use a red lens and a blue lens. And the reality is, I'm not asking you to see it my way. And I hope you're not asking me to see it your way. I appreciate Bill Ackman's perspective. I don't see it his way, and he probably isn't going to see it my way. But I still appreciate the fact that in that space, we can share those, because it does help me to understand. And like Imrik said, navigate and guide how I'm going to be a better business person, how I'm going to build a bigger business, how I'm going to build a better community, all of these things. Everybody adds value. That's what diversity just innately is. We are all different. That just is.
Here's the deal. To be frank with you, that's where the magic happens.
Yes.
The magic happens in the middle between where you are and where you think you might want to go. And when there's someone there to help shape and form where you are and where you think you might want to go, that's the biggest opportunity to really discover what is and what the possibilities are.
Yes. That's why I call it the ultimate win. I worked with a guy who was very anti-DEI. I would call it anti-DEI. I don't know that he would call it that, but he wasn't pro-DEI, I tell you that. So, and to the extent initially, I was just like, man, how can I stay as far away from this guy as possible? To now, I'll call and be like, hey, what do you think about this? You know, I need to know what your perspective is in order for me to actually be useful in the way that I want to deliver this. In order for me to reach the largest amount of people, I need to know how you would receive it. I did that TED Talk when you were there, Bo, on purpose because I knew who was in the room. Mm-hmm. I knew there were people in the room that didn't share my perspective, right? Ooh. And I wanted to know what they thought about it. I wanted to see how they would receive it. That was very intentional that I did that.
As we sort of close out today's session, Julia, what else do you want us to know?
The point of TEDx is ideas worth sharing. It doesn't work unless you share it. So go to the link in the show notes, or you can just you find it on YouTube. It's called The Ultimate Win, Why DEI Can't Die. Just Google it, find it and watch it and share it with as many people as you know. The point of it is to share the idea that it is a win for us to all engage together with all of our infinite differences.
Well, thanks, Julia. Thanks for walking us through the process. And I think, you know, we don't get a lot of opportunities in the podcast to sort of speak to our other hosts. So sometimes we get an opportunity like to just be us hosts on there. And, you know, one of the things that I always have valued about Julia is this fierceness of ideas and the willingness to have an idea, to have a voice, and to put it out there, to speak that truth and to go after it. And I think she adds so much to all of our lives every single day by her willingness to have an idea, to refine that thought, to pursue that thought, and then to share it with the world. So thank you, Julia, for everything you do for all of us.
Thank you so much. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.